Let's begin. Let's finish this last sugya of the parak. This is, you know, probably a sugya that would have been skipped over in many yeshivas, probably, and the entire masechta, you know, not learned in yeshivas. But had one been learning this masechta, there'd been great sugyas. This is like, you know, more agarata, midos, which are, of course, very, very important. But, you know, one would seemingly gloss over this in their own learning or in the yeshiva. But there's a lot of important stuff here in general. Galata is important to learn, even if it's not as lamdish as you would imagine. But the truth is, I think all midos are also very lamdish. And it helps understand intellectually. It helps, the more you learn about them, it makes it part of you. And it helps with the avodah and actually working on these midos. So just one example I like to use is... you know, when it comes to complimenting someone, important for Shalom Bayis, complimenting your wife. So I point out to people that there are two ways you could compliment someone. There's the chefza and there's the gavra. And it's funny to talk in lamdas and chakiras and midas, but it's very true. So for example, let's say your wife makes delicious challah or delicious chicken soup. So there are two ways you could compliment her. Either you could say the challah tastes delicious or the chicken soup tastes delicious. That's the chefza. But you could also say, you are a great cook. You are a great baker. You've now just complimented the gavra, the person. And it's much more impactful, much more meaningful if you are praising her as opposed to praising the food. The food's nice. It's good. It goes somewhere. But it's true of every single compliment. Not only your wife, your children, your friends, anyone else. You know, you could say, you know, that was a good shtickle Torah. Or you could say, oh, you're such a ben Torah. You're such a chacham. The different ways to say so. There's lamdas as well in midos. And once you understand that and appreciate the sensitivities, not only intellectually, but also in putting into practice, so it's true of all midos. There's a lot of lamdas there too. So chanifa or chanufa, this is no different than any other mido, which requires that type of chakira and understanding. So the Gemara here mentions a number of statements of how terrible chanufa is, and all the terrible things of Gehenim, and even the Uber curses such a person. Not things we want to get involved in, and it came. This discussion came up because of Agrippus and that whole discussion. They said, "No, not to worry, don't cry. You're one of us." And it was a terrible thing that took place. And the Gemara says, "Shenischaivu sonei Yisrael klaya." At that point, they were all worthy of being wiped out. Shechanifu lo Agrippus, and Rabbi Shimon Chalafta says, from that day, shegavar agrofa shechanufa, where the chanufa became so bad and prevalent. Nisav su hadayanim ardinim, niskalkul amaisim, vein adam yachal lomar lechavero maasai gedolim mimaasecha. Started to be the dayanim, started to praise and favor the baladinim, and then people started or stopped rebuking properly, and people couldn't say, my actions were better than your actions. And it seems like a lot of the culture, the society, the Jewish religious society began falling apart. So Rashi says there in defining the term, this idea of Ein Odom sheyachol lomar lechavero maasai gedolim mimaasecha. Person can no longer say, my actions, my deeds are greater than yours. Says Rashi, shemitoch shelomichu beovrei avera. From the fact that they stopped giving tochacha, in fact, they started praising where there was a need for tochacha, but they started praising instead. Lamdu hadoros es maaseyim v'nimtza kulan over him. It turned out everyone continued to do the terrible things, and then it led to more avarice and more avarice for generations. So that's what took place according to Rashi. Now the Miri says something a little bit different. I probably would not have picked up on this difference of the Miri, to be honest, had I not seen this in the Nitziv. But the Miri says, Maseim shel Risham Mishubachim Heim Eitz HaKol. The actions of the Risham were considered praised amongst everybody else. So what the Nitziv says here is there are really two types of chanufa. He says there's one type of chanufa which is he calls chonef, and one is called chanuf. I don't know if it's chunuf or chonef, but he says one is when a person is machnif somebody else, and one is when you're machnif yourself. And a person tricks himself or tricks others that my actions are great, and that's shemasav mishubachim. What I do is fantastic. You're falsely praising yourself, and that's one type. And the other is being machnif others, and that's what he seems to be learning from Rashi, where Rashi is being machnif others or not rebuking others, what the impact it has on others. And then Miri seems to be self-focused on a person's own actions that he's claiming that what he's doing is correct. So this is one one way to divide chanufa, his own chanufa of his own actions and others. But the truth is, even within chanufa of others, being machnif others, there's a number of different categories one could break down. So I want to break it down in two discussions. One is what or who you're being machnif, and two is the result of that, who that's going to affect, who will be, I know, who's gonna ruin for life for, if you will. So first we're going to focus on the violation of chanufa itself. What is that isser of chanufa or chanifa? So the Tosfos there on the bottom says that, the Gemara says it's mutter to be machnif rishayim, and others argue you can't be machnif rishayim. That case of Yaakov and Esav was because he was just trying to instill fear. So is there ever a heter to do chanifa, chanufa? So Tosfos says, b'makom sakana, it's allowed. The only time it's usher to do chanufa is shelo b'makom sakana. But b'makom sakana, there is a heter. And he brings an interesting story from the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, where Ulo was once traveling, and two of his travel mates were along with him, and one killed the other. Ulo obviously got scared for his own life. He said, oh, good job killing that guy. The guy wasn't a good guy anyways. Well done. And even though that was incorrect, he should not have done that, but it was a mutter because he was protecting his own life. B'makom sakanas nefashos, one would be allowed. That's what Tosfos writes. And Rav Yashiv says, what's the chiddush here? Of course, it's pikuach nefesh. Nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefesh other than the big three averas, and this is not one of the big three averas. Chanufa is a very important midah, but it's not an iser of one of the big three. So what's the chiddush here of this din? So Rav Yashiv says, you know what the chiddush here is? He says, there are instances where chanufa is actually allowed. It's allowed if a person is scared of a rasha, a person's going to lose money, he's going to be damaged himself. So even though it's maybe a pikuach nefesh or a rechoka, it's a sakanas nefashos that's not so imminent, but it's somewhat on the radar, there's a heter as well to do chanifa, to protect the person, whether it's his money, whether it's his body. That's the understanding of Vayashiv, that's the chiddush of Tosfos. And even though Tosfos doesn't say that, but the Rav Yashiv, what other chiddush would there be? Of course, Malkum Sakana, it's allowed. So that's Rav Yashiv's understanding. Where Moshe has this beautiful tshuva, where he breaks this down, and he ends up saying that, I believe there are three types of, three categories of the Isser Chanufa. He says, one is, when it comes to Chanufa of the Cheftza Shel Aver, the Aver itself. That's one type. The other one is the person himself, his actions, the rasha himself, and the averas he's done. And the third one is the person himself, but not related to the averas, just stam, flattering the individual. So those are the three categories. Again, being machnif, that's a mutter avera. The chefza shel iser is actually mutter. Being machnif, the gavra, his particular actions, what he had done was correct. And Sam just being machnifim, not relating to any particular avera. And he uses these three categories to answer the interesting shaila, which is not uncommon, where you want to be mechabed a person, a gvir of some sort, and he may not be doing the right things. Is that appropriate or not? He was an important doctor, and he helped support the community. Is that right to give him a certain kibud of opening the aron, an aliyah? Is that allowed? And so he says, firstly, we have to understand, what is psichas aron? Is that any violation? And giving aliyah, is any violation? Stam giving a person an aliyah? So he goes into just an interesting category, discussion off topic a bit, that although you're not allowed to read or keep a Sefer Torah written by an apikoros, a kofer, so just like you can't take a Torah that was ksiva, that was written by a kofer, so too he shouldn't be able to read the Torah. If he's a kofer. But that's only if it's a category of the kofer. We're not talking about a kofer here. A kofer certainly shouldn't write a Sefer Torah, shouldn't read from the Torah, he shouldn't get an aliyah. But we're talking about a mumer who's not a kofer. A person who just does not follow halacha, but he's not against the Torah per se. He doesn't think the Torah is fake, but he just doesn't follow halacha. What's the story with him? So he says that, yes, there's Isser Chanifa to do that, certainly. But he ends up saying that based on this Tosfos, seems to understand Tosfos more literally against Rav Yashiv's understanding that, what's he talking about, sakanas nefashos here? what's motivus tikkunis nefashos. So he says there are two categories, and we'll get to the third one afterwards. There's the iser chanifa of the chefsa shalaver, like I said, and the iser chanifa of the gavra himself. So if a person is going to say, oh, when you murdered, murder isn't a problem. Murder is not one of the tariq mitzvahs. That's obviously sheker. That's being an oker, a dover, min a Torah. That's when a person is called a kofer. If you were to do such a thing, to be a kofer, to say that mitzvah is not a mitzvah, that aveir is not an aveira, that's kofer. And a person would have to give his life up. That's yagva yavor. A person must give his life up to protect the Torah. So he says that, what is that language? He says, Tzarach lomer, rak b'chanufa lomer al davar rav, the iser, she'oser, that she'oser, he did the right thing. It's nimset, as if he's saying, in the davar iser, that's not aser to do. And that's saying that's sheker, murder is sheker, the Torah doesn't aser sheker. In that case, m'chuyovim limser leharog v'lo l'shanos adin, a person must give up his life, even though it's not one of the big three, but the chas v'shalom say that the Torah isn't emes, that lo sirtach is not a mitzvah of the Torah, that's a kofer, and a person must give up his life in that instance. So that was why Tosafot talks about sakanas nefashos. That type of chanufa would be usher, and one would have to give up his life. But this is the second type, which Tosafot is addressing more directly, which would be allowed in sakana. To say what you did was allowed. No, of course murder is usher. Of course, I'm not saying it's not usher. It's of course usher. What you did, that instance, your self-defense or whatever, that guy was a Rashi, deserved to be killed, that is not uprooting a din from the Torah. That's not uprooting a chefsa shel a mitzvah, a chefsa shel aveira. That would be aser midin chanifa, but that's not called a kofer. And therefore, Tosa says, that would be allowed b'makom sakana. The other one, the first type, wouldn't be allowed b'makom sakana. That's oker davar min haTorah, that's a kofer. But the second din of chanufa, of your actions you did, that's not kofer, that's a lower level chanifa, and that's mutter b'makom sakana. That's what Rav Moshe concludes legabe chanifa and chanufa. We're good so far? Excellent. So then he goes to give some interesting examples here, and proving from different stories in Nevi'im that none of us know much about, myself included. But so he brought some rise about this point. But then he gives yet a third category of chanifa, which is not about the actions of the I'll get to the ma'isim in just a second, I guess, how he paskins. But then he says there's a third category of chanifa, and that is that you're not talking about the iser of the Torah, you're not even talking about the iser that he did, but rather you're talking about just him as a person. He looks very nice, he's a chacham, he has great midos. So legabe a goy, that would all be iser. There's iser deraisa of lo sechanim. The Gemara learns from the words lo sechanim three different isurim of lo sechanim. You can't give a goy a matnas chinam, you can't give a free gift, you can't sell him land in Eretz Yisrael, and you can't praise him, you can't give compliments to a goy. So that's all asur midin lo sechanim. Here, we're talking about a yid. This is a Yisrael, he's a mumar, but he's a yid, so you're allowed to, in general, praise a Jew. You should praise a Jew. How beautiful, how his midos, his derech eretz, his wisdom. But now the question is about a Russia. Is there a violation of being machnif a Russia in these categories of, again, not relating to his actions, but just as an individual, as a person of derech eretz? So the Rav Moshe writes in this third category, efshir leka iser, kevin she'ein zekilu ke'ilu shebegemara. It's not in the examples brought down in the Gemara, it's not related to an aveir he did. And therefore he says, to be mechabed, a person bepsichas, who skiras aron, to open and close the aron, who rock in covered bama, just giving honor to him. It's not saying the iser you did chil Shabbos was wrong, that aveir of stealing was wrong. No, it's just be mechabed, like saying you're a wise guy, you have great midos. Giving the kibud of the aron is just like that, he thinks. And everybody knows why you're being mechabed him. No one thinks you're being mechabed him because of the chil Shabbos he did. Everybody knows you mechabed him because he gives a lot of money, he supports the community, he does very nice things, beyan l'chaveiro, his chesed is fantastic. Everybody knows why you're being mechabed him. And therefore he says, even though you're right, in general, a person should avoid being meshabech, such a person, such a rasha, such a mumar, in general, even just describing the good midos he has, and his wisdom, and all that, it's true. A person should avoid it. But in the end of the day, when there's a certain toelus, and there's a certain outcome, they're going to get help of the community, and if the Rosh Hekal if the Rav or whoever else feels that there's a benefit to give this type of chanifa, since it's the lowest of the three levels, Rav Moshe felt that this would be entirely permitted. Not to say it's mutter to do in general, but in this instance, there was a tzarech for it, and it would be allowed. So again, Rav Moshe thinks there are three categories of chanifa. One is somehow being machnif the iser itself, that's a kofer. That's a big problem. You have to give up your life for that one. The second category is being machnif the individual's averos. That's a lower category, whereby a person does not need to give up his life to protect that. And the third and lowest category is just stam being machnif the guy about general midos character about him. That's usur, but the makom tzarech of gain for the tibur, that would be allowed according to Moshe. Yeah. Where Moshe says, I'm saying it's good because Where Moshe says that third category is not what the Gemara is describing. The Gemara is describing when you're being machnif the averos, that your actions were good when you did it there. Your chil Shabbos was appropriate. Your gzela was appropriate. This third category of just saying you're a nice guy, you're a good looking guy, that's not what the Gemara is describing at all. So he thinks that that won't lead. If I'm not describing his action, I'm saying the guy's a wise guy, he's smart, that's not going to lead, that guy would start doing averos necessarily. So it does not have a direct correlation in Rav Moshe's understanding. Fine. So that's, again, that's the lumness that exists within the Isser Chanifa itself. Again, Netziv felt there's an Isser Chanifa on one's own self, praising his own actions, and then there's another Chanifa on praising someone else's actions. And even within someone else's actions, there are three categories Rav Moshe breaks down. Now, the other element of Chanifa of when one does the Isser Chanifa, who it impacts, what the effect it will have. So again, the Gemara and Rashi already alludes to affecting others. He sees this guy doing an Avera, others will do an Avera. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, it's very hard to, in general, it's a hard sefer, people learn it. It's hard to really appreciate the different levels. It's very deep, and you have to kind of break it down. So Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not in front of you. Rabbeinu Yonah has on the Isser Chanifa, nine categories of Chanifa. So I'm going to just kind of rattle them off there, but I'm going to break it down to three real categories here and how it impacts. It doesn't organize the way I would have organized it, but when one does the Isser Chanifa, which we said there are different ways to do the Isser, it will have an effect on three people now. And that's more alumnus. Who will it impact? It's going to impact the person who's Machnif, the one himself who's Machnif. It's going to impact the Rosh himself, and it's going to impact the others who are observing this. So those are the three categories he breaks down who the impact will be on. So I'll go through, I only copied eight of them. I cut off the ninth, so I don't remember what the ninth one is. But this is what Rabbeinu Yonah writes, and I'm going to just summarize my at least understanding of how he breaks these categories down. So he first says, the first reason why Chanifa is Asr is because it's the machnif himself will have a chelik in the avera. By him saying, what you did was okay, the murder was okay, the stealing was okay, it's going to affect him himself. He has a chelik in that avera. Somehow, maybe it's compared to the person should not place in front of a iver a michshol. It's something, there's a chelik in the avera itself. It affects that person. The ma'is avera affects the person, the machnif himself. That's one point, he says. He says, furthermore, it's going to affect others too. It's going to affect others. What's going to happen? He says, let me read inside actually. The first category, he says, when you're machnif a person, you say, what you did was okay. So now you are, you're machnif the individual. And now it's a michshol in front of the chote. I missaid that. It's a michshol to the chote himself now. You're strengthening the rasha because now he's not going to regret what he did wrong. And he's going to do the same thing tomorrow. So it's affecting the Rosh himself. Second category, he says, that a person who's machnif the Rosh, let's say the Rosh is not even there, so he's not going to be impacted. But you tell others, that guy, he's not a bad guy, he's a good guy. What's going to happen now is others are going to start showing him respect, that Rasha. And now you're giving the Rasha greater power, greater kavod, and then he's ultimately going to have some type of stronghold over Acherim. So it's going to have an impact on Acherim mitzvah the kavod that they are giving him. The third category, he says, that it's going to be machnif, the person himself, because now the individual thinks he's a great person. This is, he groups it as a third category, but it's really part of the first category, that he says, and the chelek shlishi is hachanif meshebech as a rasha b'fanav. You say to the guy, you're a good guy. And af chachmasa amdalo, even though you made sure not to tell this in front of anybody else, you said this in private, you're a good guy. I didn't want to get others to think this. So I said it in front of him privately. You're a good guy. Now you're causing the guy himself to think he's a good guy, Taka. He's not going to do tshuva. So this is a third category that's very similar to the first category, but the impact it will have on the Rasha himself. Then he creates this fourth category where it's going to affect you. You as the machnif, you're now being mischaber the Rasha. You're connecting to the Rasha. By you agreeing, by you giving haskama to what he's doing, now you're violating. Gives a whole slew of examples. Just like there's an isser lehistakel b'demus adam rasha, you can't look at a rasha, you can't connect to a rasha. You're being mechaber to the rasha, so it's affecting you by you being machnif him. So you're giving him false hopes. You're telling him he's a good guy, and now you're also yourself. You're connecting to him. It's going to affect you too. The fifth category, he says, and now by you saying that this guy's a good guy, people are going to start trusting him, others. So this is the fifth category, but it's really the category of Acherim. So earlier we said, Acherim will be affected because they're going to start giving him respect and giving him power. But then he says it's going to turn into real halach lemaisa problems. Because now you said, oh, he's a good guy. He's going to start giving advice. He's going to start giving hara, psak halacha. And they're going to start relying on this guy. And that guy's really a rasha. So others will be affected by this too. His sixth category, he says, Stam, there's an isser of, it connects us to Tochacha, but there's a mitzvah of Biar Tara Mikrabecha. By you allowing evil to stay in this world, you're affecting others. So again, he's giving more examples of others being affected by this. And then, he says another seventh category is by you not giving the Rasha a chance, you're affecting him. But you would have told him to do something, maybe he would have done tshuva. So again, this sounds somewhat repetitive, so you have to really learn, Rabbeinu, you don't know well, to know every detail, every nuance here. But what comes out from Rabbeinu Yonah is, in the reality, there are three different people or groups who are affected by the Isser Chanifa. It's you yourself who are giving the Chanifa, that you are connecting to the Rasha. Number two is you're giving the Rasha strength and he's not going to do tshuva. And thirdly, you're affecting others as well, because now they're not going to, they're going to start following his actions and listening to his advice and going along with the Avera. So in the end of the day, this is a serious Avera, and it's a serious Mita that has to be learned. And this is the lamdas of it. Okay, so we'll stop here. And Mirza Hashem, tomorrow we'll start the next parak, Mashiach Machama. As I said, we'll spend 2 days on the Mar Makomas tomorrow and understanding the role of a Mashiach Machama in war.